Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:48, and today is August 24th, and that's Pacific Summer Time. Well, this has really been a bloodbath in stock markets today, and it kicked off in China, and that certainly had the largest pullback. The Shanghai Composite was down 8.5%. That in itself is a headline maker, but perhaps more important is the fact that it pulled back straight through the 3,500 level, which is the level that the Chinese administration had very publicly announced that they were going to defend and have subsequently failed to do so. Well, one has to question, why did they pick 3,500? That could possibly be because it was the region of the 200-day moving average, or it was about half of the previous advance, or it was the highest level at which the market had traded for the previous 6 years. In any case, it was arbitrarily high, and it was going to be a challenge to defend that level from the outset, and they were willing to throw a large amount of money at it, and that hasn't been enough. Well then, the question is, are they willing to throw even more money at this problem, or are they going to pick a lower level at which to defend the market? The sensible route would be to do both. To throw additional money at the market, but to do so once the market has pulled back further. Allow some of the leverage to be taken out of the system, allow the market to fall a bit further, so that there are shorts in the market that can be pressured, which would create a short-term bounce, and then start to deploy additional capital. Well, we'll see what they do. We don't exactly know yet, but that's likely to be the catalyst for what happens elsewhere. Everywhere else in Asia today was down in excess of 3%, a good number more than 4%, and several markets in excess of 5%. In the Eurozone, it was very similar. In early trading today, the majority of markets pulled back, and pulled back in a rather dynamic fashion. The DAX in particular has pulled back below the psychological 10,000 level. It was down 4.7% today, and most of the major markets were down between 4.5% and 5%. Even the Italian index was down closer to 6%. So these are really very large pullbacks. And when we look at what happened in Wall Street this morning and the subsequent sharp rally intraday and then giving up the majority of it so that the S&P closed down on the day 3.94%, that's the largest single day pullback that we've seen in really quite a long time. The market closed off the low, but only retraced about a quarter of the decline by the end, by the close. When you look at individual shares, then you're presented with you're pretty large disparities, and some of the shares that had been previous high flyers, and Netflix really does stand out. It was overextended on the upside relative to the 200-day moving average 2 weeks ago by approximately 50%, and unwound the entire overextension over the last 2 weeks to find support in the region of the 200-day moving average today. Johnson & Johnson was down almost 17% from Friday's close intraday today, but closed way off the low. Well, these types of moves, they tell you that single stock volatility hasn't improved, in fact it's got worse. But what it also tells us is that the degree to which automatic traders are involved in this market, these are incredibly outsized moves based on an index performance which was down about 4%. So what this tells us is that there's an awful lot of leverage in this market, there's a lot of trader activity in this market, and that it is an environment which the computer programs are causing some really quite incredible single stock volatility. And against that background, then, have a look at the VIX, because the VIX index surged today up to in excess of 50. And we haven't seen a trade above 50 in really quite some time. And it closed out the day just north of 40 and had retraced about 50% of its advance. But the VIX hasn't really been a particularly good measure of volatility considering the single stock moves that we've had over the last couple of months. Well, when we look at the VIX, then the peak that it got to in 2008 was 60. So today's intraday move was really quite high, and it just does give us some evidence that there is quite concerted deleveraging going on here right now. We haven't talked about risk on, risk off for quite a while, but that's exactly what we're getting right now. This is a risk off environment. And that's evidenced by the move that we've seen in both the euro and the yen. The euro is closing out the day up at 2.2 cents at 116. And the yen was stronger today by, at the close, 3.5 yen. Well, has anything changed in the Japanese market or the European market overnight that would warrant that kind of move? Of course not. But what it does mean is that anyone who's been shorting yen, shorting euro, taking the proceeds, or borrowing yen, borrowing euro, taking the proceeds and investing them in leveraged securities, securities that have got the potential for capital appreciation or yield, or both, or momentum shares, well, they've been put under pressure in here today. They've had to close out some of their positions, and they've had to buy back or pay back their loans. And that's putting a bid under some of these currencies. And this is exactly the kind of environment that we had back in 2011, you know, this risk-on, risk-off environment when the Fed was chopping and changing and deciding whether it was going to have a first QE and a second QE and a third QE. And perhaps more surprising is that we haven't had this already, considering that they ended their quantitative easing program back in September. And potentially the reason for that is because the Japanese and the Europeans and the Chinese have all been printing money like it was going out of fashion in that interval. Well, this is a difficult environment. And we have all been conditioned over the course of the last 6 years to buy the dips, because buying the dips has worked every other time. The question then is whether this is another one of those cases. And of course, the answer is that it will be a buy-the-dip environment that will be productive for some shares, but not for others. Well, then the question is, what are we presented with? Well, the majority of indices have now had massive reactions against their prevailing uptrends, and that's a type 2 top characteristic. The S&P is back at the low today in the region of the October low, and that's in excess of a 10% pullback, which it hasn't had in really quite some time. Of course, when they calculate these things, it's on closing values, and it hasn't quite done it on the closing basis just yet. Well, what can we expect from type 2 tops? Well, generally speaking, people start to cast around, and they ask questions like, what has really changed? And if you ask that question, then you're not going to come up with a satisfactory answer. Well, yes, there are problems in China, and they're really being ham-fisted in how they've managed their stock market and their currency. But what does that really mean, that a company like Johnson & Johnson should pull back by 17% intraday? Does it mean that Netflix should pull back by 50%? Of course not. Well, what it means is that people are panicky. People are worried here, but that the fundamental situation that a number of companies find themselves in hasn't changed at all. The perceptions of those fundamentals have changed, and the growth potential and the willingness of people to put money into the market has been damaged by the volatility that we've had in the stock market. Well, that means then that some people will look at this situation and say this is a buying opportunity because it's a pullback, and every time we've had a pullback, we should buy. And in these types of situations, then, that rally could see us pushing back up towards the moving average. But then the really big players in the market, the pension funds, the really big open-ended funds, the insurance companies, the ETA, the people that are investing large sums of money in ETFs, will start to question, are they going to put new money into the market? Well, some people will say at these levels, well, I wish I had bought at today's low. But a company like Apple had bounced so impressively that I can't buy it now. And the first area of potential resistance is closer than the low is. So where's the new money going to come from? Well, that's the kind of environment where you get this right-hand extension, where there's some people will want to buy the dip, and other people will say, I need more evidence, or I can't buy it because I need an additional pullback to justify increasing my position, but that's also going to increase my my average buying price, and then can I handle that risk? So you get a ranging environment, and then it really does need an impetus. It needs something to push it to new highs. And what that could potentially be is that, well, the situation in China calms down, or that we get something very positive out of Jackson Hole this week, although Janet Yellen's not going to be there. So one thing we're not going to get is a speech from Janet Yellen telling us that what the likelihood is of an interest rate hike. Well, then you can't have too much rationalization in a period of deleveraging, that this is still a taut environment, and we haven't had a big enough rally just yet. What we are presented with certainly are oversold conditions, and that means that there is the potential for a rally in here, that it could unwind part of the oversold condition, potentially get back up towards the 200-day moving average. But the really big question, and it is by far the biggest question in this market, is can these indices push back above their 200-day moving averages? Can they start to once again post progressions of higher reaction lows? Can they demonstrate that demand has returned to dominance? Well, it's going to take time. This has been a very difficult environment for the last three or four sessions, and markets have pulled back incredibly quickly, and that damages sentiment, and sentiment takes time to recover. Well, when I click through markets every morning, and two things stood out to me this morning that were largely countermanded by the close. One was that commodities were generally finding support this morning, but Brent crude is currently down $3, having been as high today as $45.46. It was up marginally intraday and then just deteriorated into the close. And gold, having been as high as $11.70, was actually down on the day. The other precious metals were also down pretty heavily, and copper was down over 5 cents, extending its downtrend. A number of the grains and beans, having been in positive territory very early on, gave up the majority of that advance, and Arabica coffee, having looked so positive only 3 weeks ago, has retraced its entire advance and is back to 117.50, which, based on the trading that we've seen previously, one would think that it's beginning to come back into an area of support. The weakness of the US dollar is should, generally speaking, be a tailwind for commodity prices, but not in the current environment of deleveraging. We're going to need some cool heads to start to come back to the fore before we can really start to conclude that this is a buying opportunity and that valuations have improved and that the weakness of the dollar is positive for these commodities. Interestingly, having been as strong today as 163, the 30-year Treasury closed out the day at 160. It gave up 3 full points of an advance. So, you know, the rally that we've had at the bounce on stock markets was enough to get people to think that, you know, government bonds have probably gone up enough in here. And then where you have to ask, where are the safe havens? Well, I guess the safe havens are in the euro and the yen, because those are where short positions are being unwound right now. What we could potentially see tomorrow in China is either a bounce or an additional decline. If we see an additional decline, well, then that is going to put additional pressure on stock markets. And this remains really quite a risky environment. Well, I think with that, I'll leave you for today. I'll wish all the best to all of you.